for the message we've heard through song from our praise team, through your scripture, through the words that Linda just sang and testified through song as well. And Lord, I pray that they will be, I use them as my prayer as well. I pray that you will guide me and use me as you see fit right now. I am your servant. I give myself to you, and I ask that you speak to me, you speak through me, you use me as we seek to worship you in every way you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd like to turn to the scripture that was just read, comes from 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 7, and just kind of put a marker there. We'll be coming back to that throughout the message. I'm wondering, does the scripture that we had this morning seem particularly familiar to anyone? It should. It's the same scripture we had 2 weeks ago. Now, can anyone fathom a guess as to why we would be looking at the same scripture again that we only had 2 weeks ago? There's more to come out of it. That's a good answer, Wayne. But now I'm really going to test you. What did we talk about 2 weeks ago? Love. What kind of love 2 weeks ago? Agape love. Very good. And does anyone realize yet, either through the leading that our praise team gave us or maybe through the bulletin that you've already looked at, where the message is headed this week? Brotherly love. Exactly. We'll be talking about brotherly love, which is philos, and then storge is familial love, and we'll be alluding to that some, but focusing primarily on philos. I want us to think about something else. I want you to think for a minute. How many of you have one or more children? I don't ask you to say anything, just raise. You have one or more children. Do you like it when they get along? I just saw a huge smile on Mandy's face. I don't even need to know what all that's about. But how does it make you feel as a parent when you see your children demonstrating genuine care and love towards each other with their words and actions? I don't know about you. Maybe Christy and I are just weird. But there are numerous times in the past year or so that Christy will just out of the blue, I'll be doing something very busy, doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, and she'll say, "Greg, come here. What's she want now? Greg, come here." Oh, I don't really think that. "Greg, come here." And she calls me, and I don't know if the boys even realize this. If they don't, I'm giving us up now. But occasionally, the two of them will be sitting on the couch in the living room doing something together or watching something together or having a conversation. And Christy and I just stand there with smiles on our face and admire. Or at times, they'll be outside just playing basketball together in a way that, yes, they're competitive. They get that from their mom, not their dad. But they're competitive, but at the same time, there are times that they choose to be nice. They choose to make good decisions. They choose to care for each other. And then there are times that we just see them accomplishing things together. Caleb told me just recently, Christy and I were doing something different, and I had asked them if they would clean some things up in the house, and I came back, and the house was clean. And I commended them on it, and Caleb told me, "Dad, sometimes Noah and I do better when you and Mom aren't around." And I don't know what all that's about either, how that was supposed to make me feel, but I can tell you how I do feel when Caleb and Noah share that type of relationship, and they have respect for each other, and they love each other, and they take care of each other. It makes Christy and I feel really good inside. Well, God wants us as the family of God to love each other and to love those that haven't even become a part of the family of God yet. He makes it extremely clear in Scripture over and over again. I have a sheet here. This is a list of Scripture readings on brotherly love. And I put them together for our Seekers class, the class that meets after worship each Sunday. We talk more in depth about the sermon that we had and how it's relevant to our everyday life. And so those who are in the Seekers class are going to get one of these then. I'm going to leave these here. If you're interested in that, the scriptures, over 70 of them, that mention brotherly love or talk about brotherly love in some way. You can pick one up on the way out today. But this is obviously something that is very important to God, and He allowed it to be mentioned over and over and over and talked about what it is and what it looked like and how we do it in Scripture. The love skit that I did earlier was something that was supposed to be cute and hopefully will serve as a reminder of what we've been discussing, not just today, but for the past several weeks. But I hope that you also pick up on the truth that's in that. As Christians, it is physically impossible to keep God's love to ourselves. When for whatever reasons we attempt to hold God's love from other people, and there are reasons that we as Christians do that, there are reasons that we will not share the love of Christ with our brothers and sisters in Christ or even with others in Christ at times. And when we do that, it affects our love relationship with God. We can't do that. God doesn't want that. We can't have that. Let's look at Scripture, beginning with verse 7. In chapter 4 of 1 John. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. We began discussing 2 weeks ago, it's easy to lose sight of what love really is when we limit ourselves to the English language. When we use the same word to say we love God, we love mom, we love our girlfriend, we love chocolate, we love pizza, you see how it falls short of communicating of what that full meaning is when we use the word love. This verse begins to help us understand the type of love that we're talking about today and what it really is. It says, this verse says, love comes from God. So again, I ask you, what type of love comes from God? Agape love, what we talked about 2 weeks ago. Pure, unconditional love. This is what comes from God. This scripture says we are to love one another, for love comes from God. That's a whole lot different than loving chocolate and loving pizza. I don't care how much you love it. That's a different understanding. I want you to look at your Bibles at verse 11, if you've already got them open. Verse 11 of chapter 4. In verse 11, John says the same thing again that we just looked at using different words. He said, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. But then he gives a further explanation. If we love one another, God lives in us. Now, I want you to look. Somebody's got this, your script, your Bible open. What's the first phrase of verse 12? The first phrase, what does it say? No one has ever seen God. And then it leads straight into what comes after that, Brandon. No one has ever seen God, but then what? Very good. This verse suggests that while people may not see God physically, they can and will see God in us and through us by our love for each other. Now, if people are really going to see God through our love, it has to be some pretty radical love. Lots of people in the world, lots of people who do not have God in their life, readily demonstrate love as the world understands it. So this love, this Christian love, must be different than what we talk about when people talk about love as they understand it in the world. There's got to be something that separates this love of God, this Christian love, and even today this Christian brotherly love from what people may be used to when they just randomly use the word love in the world today. And here's a first example. There's two main points I want to make in terms of how this love is different. The first, I'll read, it comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 32 through 36. It says this, if you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. That's a different type of love. That's a type of love that isn't necessarily condoned by the world that we live in today. That is love that comes through a love relationship with God. In verse 12, we continue to see Christian love is different because it enables us to really love our enemies and those that rationality and human nature would say not to love. But there's even more to genuine Christian love. This is the second part of that. The scripture says that if we love in this way, God's love will be made complete. In the King James Version, which I think is what Linda was reading, it says, and I love it, it says God's love is perfected. So God's love can be made complete. God's love is made perfected. How? Through the way we love each other. Now that's pretty amazing to think that we can be used to complete or perfect God's love. How does this happen? Glad you asked. This is about the type of love we have for everyone. Not just our enemies, not just the person beside us, but everyone. It happens when we have the love of Christ in us. If you want to glance at verse 13, it refers to God's Spirit living within us. Through God's Spirit, we begin to see others as God sees them. Not just through our eyes, not just through what we've seen someone do, not just through our experience with them, but we begin to see others as God sees them. We see their needs. We do more than simply ask, how can we help you? When we see someone struggling, we do more than simply ask, what can we do? Or call us when there's something we can do. Instead, we see what the need is and we fulfill it without having to ask them what they want us to do for them. We expect nothing in return. We are blessed and thankful for the opportunity to serve one another through the love of Christ. That is our reward. That is the type of love by which others begin to see Christ through us. And I want to qualify that a little bit. There are some Christians who will tend to go overboard in doing and trying to be a certain type of person. And I think that happens because whether they realize it or not, they're making it more about themselves than they are about God or the other person. There are times that you can actually do, and you can do something so much you're smothering someone. Or you can do so much for somebody and thinking you're doing it out of love sometimes that you're actually enabling them to go down a path God doesn't want them to go, and you think you're doing that out of love. The way that happens is when we decide that we know what's best. Because in this filios love relationship, we pay attention to God's lead. The song that Linda just shared with us, it talked about God guiding us. So in that brotherly love, we begin to see and recognize things about people through God that we can't on our own, but God's also the one that guides us in that. Not just everything that we feel like might be a good thing to do. It's not simply based on our feelings. It's based on a love relationship with God, God's relationship with us, and God's desire to have a relationship with them, and God's ability to know every single thing about their life that we don't know. So we trust God to enable us to know how to love others. If we continue, verse 19, we see it again. We love because He first loved us. Not because others deserve it, not because it's easy, not because we want some reward, not because we're a good person. We love because God first loved us. It's that simple. But now in verse 20, we read a very specific and somewhat harsh statement regarding Christian love. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Wow. That's hard. Brother or sister here refers to a Christian brother or sister, someone who is in the family of God. God is saying through John, it is not possible to love God and hate your Christian brother or sister. You can disagree with them. You can dislike what they've done. But hating them is not an option. If they are a believer, then God is present in them. Therefore, you cannot love God and hate them. It's an impossibility. So what does it look like for Christians to experience conflict, to resolve conflict? If you really want to study this, I encourage you to look at Matthew chapter 18. There can be a whole series about that too. It talks about how Christians are to resolve conflict in Matthew chapter 18. But I want to just condense it today and say that basically you work through disagreements in the same way you love each other, through the eyes and with the love of Christ. So if you have a disagreement, you struggle in a relationship with another brother or sister in Christ, first, you pray. You talk to God. You say, God, I am struggling with this. I don't like the way I'm feeling necessarily about this. I don't like what's going on, but I need you to be a part of this. And you invite God to be a part of that, and you mean it, and you have that conversation, and God will not turn His back on you. That's the first step. Second, you love. We as Christians have one and only one enemy, and that's Satan. There are lots of people that Satan wants to convince us are an enemy. There are lots of people that he wants to convince us need to be our enemy. But when it really comes down to it, Satan is our only enemy. And when we recognize that and we embrace everybody else in love, whether we agree or disagree, whether we like them or dislike them, it enables us to have the type of relationship God desires us to have. And then it enables us to resolve conflict in a way that exemplifies something more than this world is able to do by itself. It shows us what the love of Christ is like, even when things are hard and difficult. And you know what? Just because you're a Christian, just because you're part of a Christian family, does not mean in your home you're not going to have arguments and disagreements. Believe it or not, Christy and I have had one or two in the years we've been married. In actuality, we've had many more than that probably in the past year. But because of God's love, there's an understanding of how we work through those together. The same is true in the family of God. We are broken people. We are people that struggle. We're people that make mistakes. We're people that fall short. We're people that frustrate and disappoint and let each other down. And we just need to acknowledge that. And as we do that, but we also realize that we have the love of Christ with each other, it enables us to begin to function in a way that the world can look and see, how do they do that? I want some of that. That's how people begin to see love in us. They will know we are Christians by what? By our love. And then the last thing, and that way I just summarized that, was to say our openness. To realize that when it comes to following God's will, it's not about our own agenda, but it is about God's will. We need to pray, we need to embrace others in love, and we need to be open to wherever God leads, no matter how comfortable, uncomfortable, expected, unexpected, difficult, or easy it may be. And if we truly seek God's will, He will show it to us. It doesn't mean we're going to see the whole destination of where we're going to end up, but we will be able to step with confidence the next step that we know God wants us to take. And then in time, He will show us the next one. The world will see a different type of love, and they will know we are Christian by the way we treat each other. In the last 3 weeks, including this one, we spent a lot of time talking about love. I want you to take just a moment now and think about your love relationship. Think about your relationship with God, your love relationship with God. Do you really know how much He loves you? Are you feeling that? Are you experiencing that? What are you doing with your love? And I could tell that Linda wanted to start preaching. And Carrie, too, I think when I talked about God's love being in a box, because you know what? You can never put God's love in a box. It just doesn't work that way. It was never meant to be that way, and it can't be done that way. God's love for you is something that if you allow it to come into you, it changes you. And others have to see it. And if you haven't experienced that change, if you don't know that you've experienced that change in your life, I encourage you to really spend some time looking at yourself and talking to God today. Because He wants to give you that type of love. And then when He gives you that type of love, it enables you to do and be and love the type of, be that type of person for the Eros. The marriage relationship. Marriage is a gift from God. We talked about it last week, and Scripture talks about it over and over and over again. And yes, I mess up a lot of times that Christy has to forgive me for, but she does it again. Because of not only the love we have for each other, but the love God has for each of us and the plan God has for each of us. And then I want you to also consider where you are in relationship to others around you. Your fellow Christians. The people that you come in contact with on a regular basis, your co-workers, people at school. What is that love relationship like? If you have the love of God in your life, you should be able to recognize something going on in that love relationship with others around you. Even your enemies that are not really your enemies, because how many enemies do we have? One. So even that begins to change the way you look at others. God loves us so much. And the way He loves us changes the way we love. I ask our praise team to come. They're going to close us with an old familiar song, familiar to me. I don't know if it is to everyone, but it's called Blessed Be the Tie. And as we sing that, I really want you to reflect on God's love, on the love that He enables us to have for our significant other and the love that we're encouraged to have as Christians for everyone. What? Maybe just focus on one today. Ask God to reveal that to you. God, do I need to focus right now more on Your love for me and how much You love me? God, is it my marriage? Is it my relationship with my significant other that I need to be paying attention to? Or God, maybe it's just the way that I interact with people that are around me that I need to reflect Your love as a Christian that I can only do when I allow You to show me the needs others have through Your love. Let's stand together as we sing. Hymn number 387.
Sing all verses, please.